Now, congressional leaders say they're in the final stages of agreeing to a deal for another COVID-19 economic relief package. Some items likely to be in the $900-plus billion legislation that's anticipated include enhanced federal unemployment benefits of $300 per week, more money for the Paycheck Protection Program, and potentially direct stimulus checks of around $600. Lawmakers have negotiated the relief bill on and off for months now, and they're running up against their holiday break. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said earlier today he's feeling optimistic.
So I'm encouraged that our Democratic colleagues have now embraced this framework that's been the right solution for our country all this time. And a bipartisan, bicameral agreement appears to be close at hand.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress pass another economic relief bill? What kind of assistance would help you or your family most right now? In particular, what do you think of the idea of extending enhanced unemployment benefits? And what do you think of the idea of another direct stimulus check going to many people, maybe with an income requirement on that? What financial challenges have you faced during the pandemic? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Ioana Marinescu is an assistant professor of public policy at the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Policy and Practice. She's also a faculty research fellow for the National Bureau of Economic Research. Ioana, welcome to Central Time.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, looking at the state of the economy right now toward the end of this pandemic year, first of all, do you see a need for something, some kind of package from Congress to give the economy a boost right now?
Absolutely. We really need stimulus now, and it's really urgent, and they shouldn't go home before they pass one because the economy right now is in very precarious situation. The unemployment rate has started going up again. So both from the point of view of people who are experiencing this, while at the same time the death count is mounting, as well as for businesses, this round of stimulus is urgent and necessary.
Staying with the big picture, we're hearing numbers of a little over $900 billion. Sounds like a big number. Is it enough to make a difference?
I think it's definitely useful and probably not enough. However, at this point, it's more important to get money into the economy sooner rather than try to get a bigger deal that isn't going to have bipartisan support. So I think it's probably not enough, but getting this now is essential and will make a difference.
And let's look at some of the particular ideas here. It looked like it wasn't going to be in there at some point, the idea of a direct stimulus payment to most Americans. Now it looks like there'll be something there. What do you think of that as a policy? Is this something that's effective, first of all, for the economy as a whole, just giving lots of people money, not necessarily based on need?
Right. So, you know, you have to remember that this money, first of all, there is a cap on income. And second of all, it's going to be repaid disproportionately by higher income people through our tax system. So that's first. But this kind of system, relative to other more targeted systems, allows everybody to get something so that nobody falls through the cracks, because not everybody qualifies for, say, unemployment insurance. And so this is some kind of money that everybody can get without having to, you know, jump through hoops to show qualification. So therefore, the big advantage is that it leaves nobody behind. And then it allows these people to spend money on, you know, groceries and, you know, their daily needs. And this is the sort of thing that props up local businesses who very much need the money right now, as many of them have been hammered during the pandemic.
Let's talk about those local businesses. And we know particular kinds of businesses, restaurants, bars, entertainment venues, arts places, things like that, places where people gather indoors are the hardest hit, they and their employees. Do you see things in the package as it currently stands that is going to help those hardest hit businesses where they need it?
Right. So some of the package is help towards businesses, and help is needed because we want to avoid a major wave of bankruptcy that could happen through additional business closures. Already, a lot of these businesses, you know, in entertainment, bars and restaurants have had to close. And having even more closures, unfortunately, has a snowball effect in the economy and can deepen the recession. So from the point of view of managing the current situation, it's extremely important to provide some help to these businesses to smooth things out. And hopefully, once the vaccine is underway, some of these will be able to reopen, survive, and even thrive.
Now, with the stimulus payments, as you mentioned, we'll spend money, we'll hopefully help businesses. But if there are people out there who are thinking, I don't want to go into a restaurant right now because I'm worried about COVID, a $300 check or a $600 check or whatever isn't going to persuade them. Is that something, is that kind of money not going to help the businesses that need it the most?
So that's a great point. It's not going to necessarily help some of these businesses like restaurants a great deal, although a lot of them are doing deliveries at home. So that market is booming, and the stimulus checks helps a lot. So if you look at the companies who do online deliveries, when the stimulus was, you know, given to people, they had huge increases in orders. So that is a way, certainly for restaurants, to make money, and it really matters, and people spend money that way. But it's true that, for example, for entertainment venues, it's not really going to help. And so that's why this giving money to people is not enough. And we also need some of the business side of helping businesses get through this. But the money to the people will help an array of other types of businesses like retail, groceries, things like that. And people have been spending a lot more on goods, you know, buying stuff for their homes and, you know, stuff they need. And that still helps the economy, props up these businesses and allows them to either maintain or even sometimes create jobs. Like, for example, there's been a lot of job creation in warehousing because people order online a lot.
We're talking to Ioana Marinescu from the University of Pennsylvania, looking at a stimulus package, an economic relief package being negotiated in Congress this time. A lot of people are saying something will actually happen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see something get passed over the next couple of days? What should be in it, do you think? What would make a difference for you? What do you worry about ending up in there? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Now, it looks like this will see a return, Ioana, of enhanced unemployment benefits for people for a period of time. It looks like $300 weekly. What do you think of that? How important is that?
So I think that's very helpful because in the past, in the CARES Act, they had $600 weekly. And it turns out that my colleague Eliza Forsythe has shown that the unemployment, extra unemployment benefits were instrumental in preventing people from losing income. So that, you know, without the extra unemployment benefits, there would be a huge drop in income, especially among workers who are already low paid. So that would have, you know, make the inequality really explode in terms of who's affected by this. So therefore, I think it's quite important to reinstate it, and it will prevent some of the biggest, you know, glaring inequalities, again, due to the fact that a lot of the workers who lost their jobs were already not making a lot of income and have trouble making ends meet. And as we just said before, a lot of these businesses either aren't open or are operating below capacity. So these people find it very difficult to find a new job right now. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense to, you know, pay them some extra income so that they can maintain their spending, which, again, remember, also helps businesses.
There have been arguments from some Republicans in Congress over the course of all this, including Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson saying, hold on, if you set unemployment benefits too high, it disincentivizes people from looking for work and maybe moving from that restaurant job to that warehouse job that you mentioned. Is that a concern?
Right. So in general, we know from economic research that, and the research I've done myself, that indeed higher benefits can discourage job search. So, you know, the number of applications that people send in particular. However, what's important to note in the present moment is that there are so many unemployed and so few jobs that even if each person reduces the number of applications a little bit, the unemployed collectively are sending so many applications that on average, businesses still have plenty of candidates to go by. And so therefore, there is no effect necessarily on employment. And that has been shown for the CARES Act, both from my own research and the colleagues' research, even though $600 was more than people could make for many of them while working, still it didn't result in greater unemployment. Again, the reason being that there's just not enough jobs out there. And even if people apply a little bit less, collectively, there's so many unemployed people that jobs are still getting flooded with resumes. So really, it's critical to understand that even if it creates a mild disincentive to look for jobs, when there's not enough jobs, each job can still receive plenty of applicants because there's just so many unemployed out there. So right now, the key problem, in other terms, another way of putting it, the key problem in the economy today is not that people aren't searching enough. The key problem we're dealing with is that there's not enough jobs. And so really, the stimulus will also be helping with that, as we were mentioning earlier, by allowing people to keep buying things and therefore businesses to have customers.
We're talking to Ioana Marinescu, labor economist and professor of public policy at the University of Pennsylvania, looking at what's likely to be in a COVID-19 relief package being negotiated in Congress and how effective it would be for people, for businesses, and for the economy as a whole. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress pass a relief bill before the holidays? What should be part of it? Do you want to see these stimulus payments going to most Americans, maybe with some kind of income requirement? Do you want unemployment benefits to be enhanced for a longer period of time? What would help you, your business, your workplace? Call 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Ioana Marinescu, economist at the University of Pennsylvania, looking at the latest on the economic relief bill being negotiated in Congress. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Heather is with us in Marquesan. Heather, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just think this whole government stimulus package isn't a good idea. I think that people just need to be able to go back to work. People want to work, and there shouldn't even be a job shortage, but there is because the government has made everybody dependent on them, and the media has scared everybody so much over this COVID, saying, "Oh, if you go out or go with your have family gatherings, you're all going to get COVID and people are going to die, and now you're pushing this vaccine on people." Just listen to the people and let them get back to work, and then there wouldn't be a job shortage. People wouldn't have to go on in unemployment.
Heather, thanks a lot for calling in. You want to end COVID restrictions, let people go back to work, and Heather says the economy will bounce back.
So, you know, I mean, I think that what's right about that is that COVID is the main reason why we are in this terrible situation. And even without restrictions, people don't want to go out there. And that's how we lost a lot of jobs. So really, fundamentally, the problem is COVID. But I don't think it's the media making a big deal out of it. The reality is 300,000 Americans have died. So really, the big problem that's causing all this job loss is COVID, and we've got to address that, and hopefully, you know, and we know vaccines are coming, but it's still going to take a while. So in the meantime, we need the stimulus to bridge that gap.
And I've heard for months now, Ioana, a lot of economists from different perspectives saying, yeah, we're really not going to be able to solve the economy until we solve COVID. Is that still fair to say?
I think that's still fair to say, and that's really the fundamental roadblock to economic recovery is COVID. And then, unfortunately, it's still going to take a while, most likely, before we recover. But without getting COVID under control, it's just not working.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Marcus now in Madison. Marcus, hello.
Good afternoon. Two quick points for you, Professor Marinescu. Number one, for example, your point about there aren't enough jobs is certainly true. To put a finer point on it, there's a shortage of decent jobs. Half the workers in Wisconsin make less than $15 an hour. And number two, the original CARES Act is not a stimulus, as is this bill in economic terms, as I understand it. This is at best a mitigation. As far as I am able to discern, we made up about a third of what we lost before the pandemic, and there are still a million unemployment filings a week. The numbers you hear on media are counting full-time workers only. So if you add them all in, it's still a million filing for unemployment every week. Could you please address these two things? This is an austerity measure, in my opinion.
Marcus, thanks for the call. So first of all, Marcus's read on the unemployment figures. I don't know how do you sort that out, Ioana?
Right. So it's true that unemployment, new filings for unemployment have been going up again, and it's in the 800,000, so indeed almost a million. So this just shows that the economy is still in dire straits. So, but the thing is, unfortunately, when there's a recession, and we have learned over time, the government has learned to take actions that will mitigate the recession. But typically, we cannot avoid it entirely. And this has been a particularly bad hit in terms of the initial shock was faster than anything we've seen in recent history. And that also goes to our earlier point that I was saying that this stimulus is probably not enough. But if it weren't for this stimulus, the situation would be even worse, in terms of both poverty and how people are affected, as well as in terms of the businesses and them not being able to have customers, or for those who are closed, being able to get some sort of financial support to make it through. So that points, the fact that we're still in a bad situation just points to the fact that we need vigorous government action, and that the action we've had is perhaps not enough, but it doesn't show that the action we have had wasn't useful type of action, and we should definitely, you know, take action with the new round of stimulus.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. Ken joins us next in Blanchardville. Ken, hi.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. I was kind of fired up by your last caller who was just saying that people want to work, but they're dependent on the government, and that they should just go back to work and forget about the COVID and the fear and all that, which is absurd non-recognition that 310,000 people have already died from this thing. My wife would love to go back to work. She actually, her boss, who's a friend of ours, but is a Trumper, and we're not, and yet we remain friends. But it's a ridiculous assumption, a right-wing talking point, and kind of a troll call, in my opinion, that she would put this out there. We would love to go back to work, and we would prefer not to get a government check or government cheese, you know. We'd rather be working, and we have the pride in doing that. So anyway, it just kind of fired me up that she just was in denial and probably will not take the vaccine if it's offered to her. And,
gotcha. Ken, thanks a lot for calling in. You want to... Most people, Ken is saying, and his family certainly would rather be working than taking unemployment, maybe even regardless of the number comparison between what you get paid on the job or off.
That's right. And that's why, you know, we have seen some decrease in applications, probably due to the CARES Act, but it wasn't spectacular at all, considering that people were getting paid more for being unemployed than on the job. And then the other thing I want to tell our listeners is that if you look across countries, the countries that have been the best at limiting the rise in cases and deaths of COVID were also the best in terms of limiting the decline in the economy and the GDP. So that really goes back to our earlier point that the key issue we're facing here is the virus, and that creates a major economic fallout.
Thanks a lot for that call. I wanted to ask, from the outset, I've seen some people making the case that, okay, if we know that, you know, restaurants and event halls and bars and things like that are likely places to spread the disease, why not, you know, close them down, but then totally compensate them for their lost business? Like, pay them to do this service for the country, in effect, has been the argument. I think some European countries have taken that approach. Was there a case to be made for that? Is that still something that I don't think it's really on the table? Is that something that would have been a viable option?
Right. So in Europe, the typical approach was to essentially pay businesses and people not to work, basically to freeze the economy. Let's keep the things how they are. Support the people, support the businesses, but while the people stay employed, right? So everything stays as if we were still going, and then we hope to reopen later. In the U.S., there's been relatively less help for businesses and more help for the unemployed. So the unemployment rate in the U.S. increased a lot more than it has increased in Europe. And I think, you know, in that sense, there's a difference in the strategy, and only the longer run will tell which was better, because the European strategy is certainly better in the short run because it averts a huge increase in unemployment. But in the longer run, you know, how long can you hold it? And possibly the economy has to readjust a little bit. So it's kind of partly about how do we get from there to the new future. And now we're getting closer, but this whole crisis, you know, has been already, unfortunately, lasting a long time. So I think it's only after the fact that we'll be able to tell, you know, what pros and cons there were to either strategy, again, which would be either kind of freeze the businesses, keep them in place, pay them to continue existing without operating, or just kind of allow them, some of them, to just close, and then the people would be unemployed and will give some money to the unemployed. So again, there's pros and cons to each of the approaches, and only once we do a study after the fact, we'll get a better perspective on what those pros and cons were.
In our last minute, Ioana, we're watching hour by hour, really, to see what's going to happen in Congress. Are you optimistic that at least something that will come along, maybe it's not a stimulus, maybe it's a mitigation, but that something is going to come out of this over the weekend?
Absolutely. It seems highly likely at this point that something is going to come out. I think they've been negotiated for months, and I think...
think we just lost our guest, but we were just about done anyway. Ioana Marinescu was with us, assistant professor of public policy at the University of Pennsylvania's School of Social Policy and Practice, fellow at the National Bureau of Economic Research. She talked with us about the latest COVID-19 relief bill in Congress and what kind of support could make the most difference for people in need. You can keep sharing your thoughts, by the way. You can email ideas@WPR.org, or as always, you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR.